Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Tosh, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Wednesday edition. The Brian Bulaga and Steve the Homer True scheduled to appear as they do every Wednesday edition. The trade deadline. The old Mike McCarthy joke. Oh, is that today? I thought that was next week. Holding true once again. Not since 2010. Have the Packers acquired a player at or near the trade deadline? Didn't trade anybody away yesterday either. Edition. And the... What a amazing night at Buck and Honey's in Monona.
Hey, got a little shrimp sauce on your face yet. Figured it was a big boy night out there.
May have pulled a Jesse Nelson... and taken some extras home. Now, I'll explain momentarily. There was, I would say, attendance could have been better. But again, that doesn't mean anything about your ability to come on our trip with Colette. I'll explain. Coming up, edition of Wilde and Tosh on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, and all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find both in the Apple and Android app stores. I'm Jason Wilde back in Green Bay after spending yesterday at the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison Studios. That is where Jesse Nelson is. And for the second consecutive day, so is the Packers Hall of Famer, except without me annoying him across from the table.
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
It is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
Happy birthday, Jesse. This is your birthday present. Oh, boy, old team coming into the Everlight Solar Studio to celebrate. With my guy, 33 years young, right?
34.
Ooh, you're getting old.
Giannis.
Nailed,
yeah. Getting old. Getting up there. Yeah.
No refunds, no exchanges on that gift.
What are you going to... So, tell me about your birthday.
Well,
did you go to Buck and Honey's last night?
We went out last night. We did not make it over to Buck and Honey's, which it sounds like we were in the majority. Can't wait to hear.
Okay.
We did go out last night. We had a little fun. Working Badger volleyball tonight. Big one against Minnesota.
See, you got that shirt on.
So, yeah, Becca did give me this morning.
Good looking shirt.
So, brand new Wisconsin volleyball shirt.
Talk into the microphone.
So got some merch. Well, I had to step back to make sure everyone could see on the video stream.
Right.
So we had a nice little. She went out and got some coffee, a little breakfast this morning that we had at home.
What a gal.
It was very nice of her. Yeah,
what
so,
a gal.
Nice day so far. So yeah, gonna be a fun one. Loaded day today.
Is your mama and daddy a trip to Las Vegas, or are they gonna be around
they
town?
They are not in Vegas. They are gonna come up tomorrow night and hang out. So it's kind of a week. Honestly, it turned into like a.
A week-long celebration.
It turned into a week-long.
Turned into.
We went out.
Turned into.
We went out last night. We're, stuff going on today. Tomorrow my parents are coming up, and then I actually have a friend coming up this weekend.
Where are we going to dinner tomorrow night?
I think we're going to eat at home. We might pick some stuff up and bring it home. I do a little
at-home
dinner.
Okay, what time should we be over?
Six.
Am I still?
Six, seven.
Am I banned from coming over to the house yet, or am I? Has that been waived?
No, you can come over anytime.
Can we play Canyon afterwards?
Absolutely, we
All
can.
Right, I'm in. Look, I'll be there.
Big party tomorrow.
What are we
night?
Making?
Chicken, I think. We're going to have a chicken.
Piccata?
What would you like?
Chicken piccata.
What would get
great.
You?
I love capers on chicken piccata. And Buck and Honey's does a great chicken piccata. Just was at a wedding where Buck and Honey's catered, and they had the chicken piccata. And I'm telling you, I think capers might be the most underrated accoutrement on a food. Like, I just think they are fantastic. They add a lot to a dish.
Capers, underrated coach in Packers history, too.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Fire capers. So, Jason, how was your? You were here all day yesterday just grinding. You logged. I was laughing because we had meetings after our show yesterday, you and I, and then obviously you had your big to-do out at Buck and Honey's. I went over, watched practice. Logging some log days, my friend. So give us the laydown. What do we got? How did it go?
Give us the laydown.
Yeah, tell us how
all
it all went.
So couple things. First of all, I ended up crying at Buck and Honey's.
You got emotional?
I did. I'll explain in a moment. Now, we have been talking about this trip that we are taking to England, Scotland, and Wales for quite a while with Colette.
Nervous that you're crying? Because once you said that, I'm thinking, should we have brought this up?
No, you definitely should have. I was going to. Okay. I actually told Jesse I've got the open,
oh,
and then
perfect.
We talked about his birthday. So I would say that I was hoping there would be more people there in person. But that was not necessarily indicative of the level of interest. So I appreciate everyone who has texted travel to the Carbless Talking text line, the word travel, 844-770-3776. We do have people who are already signed up. They are in. Among the smaller than I'd hoped but still appreciative number of folks that were at Buck and Honey's was our friend Dan Kelly, retired from AmFam. He and
He's
Lena might be making the trip. He was there.
Oh,
he's been to London
right?
twice.
Oh.
I got very firm answers. I know you have a couple of buddies that are interested. There are built-in free time days that if they want to play golf,
oh,
that can be
it.
Facilitated.
Count Jern in for sure. You might as well book him. If he can golf, he's
nice.
In.
So we have until January to actually get a final number. So the best thing about it being a small gathering at Buck and Honey's, which, by the way, I pulled into the parking lot at their Monona location, and it was jammed. And I was like, oh, my gosh, how many people are here? The parking lot was not an accurate indicator of the number of people
that
were
there. You got to fight for your right to park over there now. Like, yeah. You get there during busy times. I've had battles with people going to the same party at Buck and Honey's Monona where I've jostled in there and then they got mad at me about taking their parking spot.
Yeah, it's great. We obviously love Tommy and everybody at Buck and Honey's, and I appreciate that. The fact that there were fewer people than maybe I had hoped meant there was more firecracker shrimp, and then they've got these bacon wrapped dates.
Yeah,
have
they
you
make
had
a good
these
bacon.
Before?
They're so good. Guess where that bacon's from?
Jones Dairy
you
Farm.
You know that's right.
And they slather a little bit of Grassland butter on their bread while they're there as well. So here's what happened. So DJ in the Saw lives in Wausau. His wife works at Edgewood College. And he was one of the handful of folks that, I mean, they made the trip down from Wausau to come to the meeting. I told him you could have just watched virtually. We had a link for that. But I could not have been more appreciative of him and Shirley. I'm bad. I'm one time meeting someone I think his wife's name is Shirley.
Surely you are serious.
Surely I'm not sure. Yeah, I could be wrong. So DJ, I apologize. But so, and I'm not going to get emotional again, I promise.
Just get emotional.
No, I did it once already.
Feel your feelings, man.
So what is he getting emotional about?
Yeah, I think I know.
I don't want to get
I don't want to put too much of DJ's story on the street, but he was going through a difficult time several years ago. It was before he'd met his wife. They were fantastic. I mean, it was just her sister is a lawyer in London. They would listen together. She doesn't know anything about football. They would listen via YouTube, and he would share his screen with her, and she was living in Ghana at the time that they were sharing screens. So, as I said, we're huge in Ghana. But he went through a difficult period, and he said that we were the ones that helped him come out on the other side. And you've probably heard me say on this show, look, Dr. Dave Margolis, my good friend at Children's Wisconsin, is helping kids fight childhood cancer and overcome it. We're not doing that. We're talking about Halloween candy and football on here. But to hear him talk about how much we meant to him during that time, and we talked about this after COVID, there were a lot of folks that really, like, we understand our place in the universe here on this program, but for someone to have gone through a difficult time and having leaned on us for 3 hours a day to help them through that, it is incredibly humbling, and I'm a crier by nature. So while I was not crying about the turnout, I was crying about what DJ told me. I can't be, for all the dwellers in the YouTube comments who maybe don't like the direction of the show at times, totally understand. You're welcome to your opinion, but it is pretty humbling to hear how much you help someone. And the fact that his wife joked about how she doesn't have much interest in American football, but she loves the nonsense that we generate, and she laughs every time she listens. That was pretty awesome, too.
Unless so, you and I are in person.
Well, then the show sucks, and they should just turn it off.
That's awesome. That's cool, and it is a I do think we obviously go about our business on a day-to-day basis, but it is very touching when you hear stories like that. It means a lot to, I know, both you and to me.
So, again, you can go to ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com if you're interested.
Not sure that was the time for the plug. Not sure that was the time for that plug, but I know this. It is time for the Pella Windows and Doors
yes,
plug.
Much better.
When
yes.
it comes to your home, the smart play is to trust Gina Della and her team at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. This month, you can score a whole house of new energy-efficient Pella windows for as low as $297 a month, and you have zero interest for up to 72 months. That is like a drive you can sustain for years, keeping your home comfortable thanks to the incredible defense played by Pella Windows, stopping all of those drafts. Don't wait. Schedule your free consultation today at PellaWI.com.
We will get to the trade deadline and the busy nature for some teams. Not for this team. We'll talk about it next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Yesterday was the NFL trade deadline. Two teams that will meet on Monday night took opposite approaches as that deadline approached. The Philadelphia Eagles acquired two corners, one of them being Jair Alexander, the other Michael Carter II, and then went out and got, giving up a third-round pick, an additional pass rusher from the Miami Dolphins. The Green Bay Packers
picked up Micah Parsons before the season started.
Indeed they did.
They got seven or eight more games of play.
Indeed. They did not add any sort of corner help. They did not add tight end help via trade. They did sign two guys to the practice squad and promote Josh Wiley from the practice squad.
Is he a veteran? The Wiley guy?
Is he a Wiley veteran? I think I also mispronounced his name there.
Okay. Can we use the line, while you were talking castles last night, the Packers added castles to the roster?
You can. I don't know how good it's going to go.
You can, but we already knew he had worked out, and we already had that information earlier in the day. But, yeah, that's fine.
I can't imagine. So I'm not going to speak for Packer fans. I can't imagine we're irritated about this. Like, I think had there been a corner that Goody liked, I think he would have maybe went. He wasn't going to give up. When you give up those first, he's not giving up a second or third round pick for anybody. Like, he's just not going to. He put his chips on the table to go get Micah Blanken-Parsons, and it was the right move.
Lies detected yet.
So I'd rather have you go and really get a guy for basically the same price as Quinnen Williams. And Quinnen Williams is a nice player. I wanted the Packers to draft him for whatever how many years ago it was. He was a disruptor for the Crimson Tide.
He's good.
This is the balance you have. And could Green Bay use another corner? They picked up Hobbs in the offseason. That was their pickup. And it hasn't worked to this point. Now, you could say it's his injury. That's what his agent said basically yesterday. We'll see. He has not been productive. And Brian Gutekunst, for as much as I said, you know what? They addressed their big issues they felt. They knew Jair wasn't coming back. They replaced him. Jair wasn't going to play. I don't know how he's going to do in Philadelphia, but it's been a disaster with the Ravens. That's why they dumped him. Brian Gutekunst, Micah Parsons, it swipes all of the negative, in my opinion, for what he did. But both of his pickups, his big money pickups this offseason, they have not been what he had hoped. And I think he would tell you that over a Coors Light. So this trade deadline, you knew Goody had kind of done what he was going to do. They, I'm sure, would have loved to pull somebody for a conditional sixth or seventh if that was the case. Would we be that excited about that player? Probably not. So I unlike most of these trade deadlines where Packer fans are clamoring, I didn't hear the same amount of clanking. And maybe I'm just maybe my ears aren't turned on to it, but I don't think Packer fans are that upset that we stood pat with this football team. I don't. Am I wrong?
I did not hear from any angry Packers fans. We do have the Carbless Tuck and text line, though, where you can certainly give your opinion and either agree with Tausch or push back and say, no, I'm mad that we didn't add David Njoku to augment the tight ends, and instead we are building castles on the practice squad. But you were shot. You did not throw away your shot on Micah Parsons. I thought they were more likely, and I don't want to call it a concern, Tausch, but my thought was they could go the other way, and I thought maybe Goody would be desirous of augmenting his draft class for next year. I thought maybe he would move Rashawn Gary in his contract and try and get like a second or a third round pick for him.
Oh, boy. That would not go over.
And that would have felt like the Josh Hader trade. Not to the same degree,
sure,
but certainly that's not a complete apples to apples.
I wonder if Lucas Van Ness was healthy and being uber productive, if that was going to be on the table.
Yeah, maybe. Right? Whatever. Insert whoever you want. The thought that I had was, if I was going to be shocked yesterday, it was going to be that kind of a trade.
Sure, I'll buy that.
I never expected them to go and spend, I don't know what Njoku would have been the cost of, Alante Taylor, the corner for New Orleans.
Does
that was
tell
out
you,
there?
Jason, that they believe in Musgrave? Or does that tell you the price was too steep for these guys?
Yeah, I don't think... I think they believe that Musgrave. I posted one of my favorite scenes from Moneyball this morning. I do believe that they think they can recreate Tucker Kraft in the aggregate. Like, you are not going to replace Tucker Kraft. Period. Finn. He is one of the best tight ends in football. They are, in my opinion, a Super Bowl contender if he is healthy. Now, I don't believe that they are, but I'm open to being proven wrong. But all that talk about all these weapons and, yeah, we want to feature Tucker, but we still want to keep everyone else involved. Well, now, you've got Wicks expected to play this week.
You've got Reed starting to catch balls off the jugs machine and working his way back from the broken collarbone. Musgrave is not the same player as Tucker Kraft. We all know that. Is he going to be able to do the blocking part of his job that Tucker Kraft could? No, I don't think he can.
No, he will not.
Can John Fitzpatrick do that? Sure. If Chipotle Ben was still there, he could try to do that too, but they don't have the pass-catching part. That's what makes Tucker Kraft so special. He has all the qualities that you want in a tight end in one guy.
Yep. Yep.
So you can't replace that guy. So if Matt LaFleur is as creative offensively as he has been at different times, and this is a significant challenge for him, he just went from saying after the Pittsburgh game, we'd be crazy not to, when he was asked if you could build your passing game around a tight end like Tucker Kraft. Now you got to figure out how you're going to make your passing game productive against a bunch of two-shell defenses that are giving up stuff underneath. You don't have a guy that's as good at yards after the catch as Tucker Kraft either. That's one of the ways that you beat that kind of coverage, is that he catches the ball underneath. He runs over a couple of dudes, and he gets a bunch of yak.
And Jason, one of the things, and this is where, you know, when we picked up Jimmy Graham and then we went Martellus Bennett, we went through all of that. Jared Cook was pretty good at it. One of the big things that just drove me nuts was our tight ends catching two-yard out patterns and getting tackled immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, ugh. Right? Tucker's been such a breath of fresh air on all of that, and just his physical presence and what he did and the attitude he brought. That is not going to get replaced. Musgrave can do the seam routes. I think he can stretch a field. He may be more athletic than Tucker. He's not a better overall player, but it is going to be interesting to see what Matt LaFleur – this is where Matt LaFleur needs to cook. He needs to figure that part of this out, and – the balancing part's going to be how many wideouts do you want to use? How often do you want to go two tights, which they did a lot more of this year? Or how are they going to approach that and mixing and matching all those different personnel groupings and then finding something that is really working? Do you stick with that? He has a lot of adjusting he needs to do, and he needs to do it quickly because this is a big game Monday night for the psyche of this football team. Just like I thought the opener was huge. Huge. Because of all of the ramifications that if you lose to Detroit again at home, it would have sent, I think, a lot of fans and everybody, here we go again. Now, on the flip side, it ended up turning everybody into Steve the Homer Truth saying the division's over. And, me proclaiming this defense to not quite be the 85 Bears, but boy, they could. And we saw all of that. This weekend, this Monday night game, I do believe, is going to tell the narrative of the second half of this football season for this team.
Now, I think you're right. I am to your point about Matt LaFleur needing to cook. I want to see what he does.
Where's Jared Cook? Is he still available? Can we get him?
I think he's eating at a local wing place.
I really wanted Darren Waller on a seventh-round conditional. He's on IR. He'd be back at week 13 or 14, according to Big Cat. I think that would have been a sexy.
Big Cat, like Josh DiMaggio?
Yeah,
or
Josh DiMaggio.
I'd never know which cat you're talking about.
There are multiple big cats in our universe.
Well, Andres Galarraga is the original big cat.
He is.
There's three
the
big cats.
OC. Yeah.
Great,
he's the OC.
Great RBI three baseball player. I mean, that Expos team in the mid-90s. Oh, baby! I could name names on top of names on that group if you want to play that game. You want to play?
Not right now.
I want to get to Brian Lager.
I don't want to play.
But that would have been something. I don't know what Miami was doing. I thought they would have unloaded more than what they did. But without a GM, maybe that was part of the deal. But if you're going to take a flyer on somebody, Waller would have been the guy, because I know Goody obviously has wanted him. He's retired. He's come back. That would have been a nice ad, but I think he would have probably brought similar traits to what Musgrave is, because I don't think he's probably all that interested in blocking at this point in his career either.
So Romeo Doubs has been productive.
Did you hear his quote? When I joined KBN yesterday, did you hear that quote, Romeo?
So I I was in the locker room. I was talking to somebody else. I saw
that
it in
Irish
the transcripts.
Was the Irish kicker back, or who did you talk to?
Rudy Ford.
Fordster.
I did not see him say it. I was not there at his locker when he said it. Again, he's a different guy. And in the locker room, he does not enjoy.
He's an even keeled fella.
He does not enjoy conversations with us necessarily. When I talk to him one-on-one, he's friendly. It's just, for whatever reason, I think what he was trying to say, obviously, it did not sound, if you listen to it, you know, I mean, it sounds like Tucker Kraft has gone to the great beyond. I understand. I don't think that was his intent. I think he just, again,
I'm gonna
defend Romeo on this one. I think, and I don't love the fact that people have been making wisecracks about it. I saw that it went kind of viral from, I don't know if it was awful announcing or where it came from. But be that as it may, he has been productive. Watson is back. We've been clamoring for Golden to get more opportunities. Well, there are more opportunities now to be had if his shoulder
is
fine.
Is he going to be good this week?
Yeah, I was told he is day-to-day, not week-to-week.
Let's go.
Same with Aaron Banks, who they definitely need to not only play, but play well. Against the Eagles front. There is also, LaFleur said that there is hope that both LVN and Dontavion Wicks will be back. As I mentioned, Reed is starting to catch balls. He's around the facility. He's been in all the meetings. He will be back at some point.
So he's in a better place than where he was.
Some might say.
Okay.
My point is that you are not better off without Tucker Kraft. Only an imbecile would suggest that, and I don't think I'm that. What I do think is they've still got a lot of pieces, and if Matt LaFleur can figure out a way to move those pieces around more effectively than they have with their inconsistent offense to this point, I don't think it will be as tragic as maybe we think. But it's a big hurdle to overcome. And we will see if Matt LaFleur rises to that occasion and if the Packers on offense do as well. We got to get to Brian Bulaga, but we can't do that until Tausch tells us about Tito's.
Tito's Handmade Vodka. It's always my go-to. Doesn't matter if it's morning, afternoon, night. If I'm celebrating Jesse's birthday, if I'm out with the boys after a big Packers win, or if I'm all irritated after a tough loss on a Sunday, it's always going to be Tito's in my glass. And they're not just Tito's isn't just about great drinks. They also give back in the community in a big way, partnering with nonprofits all across the country, and especially for our four-legged friends. So the next time you're raising a glass, make it with Tito's Handmade Vodka, distilled and bottled by Fifth Generation Inc. in Austin, Texas, and it is crafted to be savored responsibly.
The great Brian Bulaga joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in. Yeah, I do.
Time for the man, the myth, the legend, the Florida farmer. Have you gotten an update on any sort of crops that have been planted at the Bulaga family farm?
No, but I saw Micah Hyde got that same award down at Iowa this year. So a couple
really?
Packer greats being great farmers for the Iowa community, too.
I assume Mike Daniels is next, and then Lucas Van Ness. Abdul Hodge. Who else am I missing from Iowa?
Campman. Aaron Campman.
Campy. Yeah, there you go. There's another one.
Boy, we love Iowa, don't we, here at
love us
University of Green Bay Packers.
Kirk Ferentz. We also love this guy. It is Brian Bulaga on Wildy and Tausch. Brian, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Great. Were you disappointed in the trade deadline? Were you hoping that they could get both Bonds and Griffey and not have to give up all that much?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm going to be honest. I wasn't expecting anything much after what they did to get Parsons. Let's just be real. Like, I wasn't expecting too much. I mean, I know there was a lot of chatter about the back out of Miami. I think there was a lot of talk about that, right? I think that was something that that was late going on yesterday. But my question is, what would be, like, with all that chatter, where's he going to fit into that equation?
Blue, don't you think if there was going to be a move, it had to be DB yesterday, right?
Like, right, yes.
You're not going to replace Tucker. You're going to give Musgrave the opportunity. It had to be DB. And Jason said this on the show yesterday. We're getting very close to having to have Bo Melton play 60 snaps of football as a DB.
Yeah. Yes. We're extremely close to that point in time right now. Like, and he almost played how many snaps at wide receiver the other day?
Yeah, he's playing a handful of those, too.
He's the Deion Sanders and the Travis Hunter of the G&G.
Yeah, hopefully he stays healthy.
So, like, that's my thing. Like, he's going to be playing corner, and he's playing a lot of snaps at wide receiver. So, like, if they were going to make a move, it was going to be a DB. It didn't happen. I guess there's still talk, Jason, maybe you know more about this, about Asante Samuel Jr. He was in L.A. with me for a year. He was a rookie. He's a good player. I just don't know what's going on with his back. Obviously, I don't know the whole situation with that. He had a fusion. I don't know the ins and outs of that. But, yeah, I think that's – I mean, no, you know, moves is kind of what I expected at the deadline. Like, to be honest with you, I didn't expect much.
So the story from ESPN's Jeremy Fowler was that after undergoing spinal fusion surgery in April
– that doesn't sound good.
He has been cleared for football activities and plans to make free agency visits soon. Matt Schneidman of The Athletic reported that the Packers have shown some interest in him. But again, and you know, you guys are the ones that played in the league. Spinal fusion surgery sounds like something that I would be leery of expecting him to walk in and be able to help you immediately, right? Fair? Whether or not, whether I don't know what they're going to do there, but a guy that's a former second-round pick who has NFL bloodlines, if he's available, am I going to inquire? Am I going to bring him in and have my doctors look at him and see? Of course. Especially when you're where they are at corner. And by the way, they also lost Micah Robinson, their seventh-round pick, off their practice squad. Remember, the Titans traded one of their corners, and then they raided the Packers' practice squad and took Robinson, a guy who's been up and down on the active roster. So that's one less option they have at corner right now.
Yep.
Kind of like losing Chipotle Ben and keeping Lucas Haversick to not kick, and now Chipotle Ben is with the Vikings when they need tight end help. So those are the risks, right? And I'm not saying Ben Sims is the second coming of Tucker Kraft, and I'm not saying that, you know, Micah Robinson is Patrick Surtain, but you need help at those positions. And there wasn't a lot of inexpensive help to be had at the trade deadline. If you wanted to trade away two first-round picks for Sauce Gardner, give up your 28 and 29 first-round picks to get him, he was available, it turned out.
Yes, yes. And then Green Bay wouldn't be having a pick until, what, 2030?
2030!
Until that point in time. So I don't think they were willing to go there. I don't think they were willing to go there. And listen, again, I have no idea where the fusion was. You know, I have no idea. Like, right, like, I hear spinal fusion, I think of Tiger Woods, like, immediately, right? Like, that's, like, the first thing I think of, and obviously that's a way different sport. But that's, like, the first thing I think of. So, they may bring him in and check him out and see what the deal is. And, listen, I knew he was – the only thing I know about him as a player is that he was pretty good, you know, in his time there when he was playing with the Chargers. He was very active in the secondary. He was good on the ball. He had good hands. He showed a lot of promise as a young player. And then obviously the injury, and that is what it is. So I don't know anything about the recovery from that injury and all that. So that's way out of my.
Well, you're a farmer, not a doctor.
So Blue, what question I have is Asante Samuel aside, and now that is going to be the only road that this team can go down to bring anyone in to help solidify that secondary, especially with Hobbs being injured. But how big of a blow, and did it change your mentality on if this was a championship team when the news came that Tucker Kraft's ACL was ruptured?
Yeah, I mean, it is a well, let's just say this. Like, losing him, I mean, you look at an offense and you look at, like, the most important piece, obviously, is the quarterback, right? Like, that is the
– Besides right tackle.
Central, yeah. Besides the right tackle, that's the most important spot. And then the next and most important spot is the quarterback. You know, you look at, like, the biggest pieces of this puzzle, it's the quarterback. And you look around the offense, like Jacobs, you could say – but you're really looking at it, and it's been Tucker Kraft, right? Like, he's been the biggest part of this offense, and you remove him from this equation now. And, like, you look at the production that he's given this offense, and, like, I guess I'd have to look at the exact number and the exact receptions and all that and kind of what he you can't quantify blocking and attention from, you know, from DBs and safeties, but you would have to say a like percentage-wise, how much he equates to the offense, and it's a bunch. Like, you would have to say 30% of the offense runs through Tucker Kraft, maybe a little bit more. And you now remove that. You remove that from the equation. Now you have to figure out, how are we going to fill that void? Who is going to fill that void? And that's a big issue to solve, right? And we could say, oh, well, now – more guys can get targets, right? Mm-hmm. Now we have more guys to figure out to get, but it's not that simple, right? Like as Tucker Kraft was from the tight end position, can do wide receiver type things from the tight end position, which is so unique. It's not, you know, you can't put wide receivers in the tight end position and expect them to do the same thing. It's just not, it doesn't work that way.
Can't even put Musgrave in the tight end position and expect him to do the same things.
Yeah, and, like, he's great blocking in line. Like, that's something that, like, you can't replace that. So now we thought this was, like, a big 21 or a 12 team. You know, that we're going to see a lot of 12, you know, personnel. That's out the window now. Now you can't do that anymore. Like, that's something that we're not going to see much of anymore. See a lot of 11 these days. Like, get used to 11 personnel. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what we're going to see a bunch of. So, do I think that this impacts them as a championship contender? Like, you're going to have to see how Matt kind of, like, evolves this offense now that Kraft is gone. How is he going to change things up? Because you just can't say, all right, we're going to do the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be the same. Nah, just plug in Musgraves and it's going to be the exact same. No, you can't do that.
So, like, Blue, what would you
can't do that.
What would you advise? Because you talked to us last year about the duo blocking and working with Josh Jacobs, and maybe that limited some of the play action. Musgrave has shown that he's a seam guy. He's a really good athlete. I don't want him blocking a ton. I'm not asking him to block 7 and 9 techniques, and that's not where I want to have him live. What would you say, like, what would you advise Matt LaFleur, especially for this first week, you know, different personnel groupings? How would you handle it if you were advising LaFleur on this?
Well, first of all, as you know, in duo, the tight end is one-on-one. The tight end is going to have to be one-on-one and have to man block on a defensive end, because the front side of that play, or back wherever he's going to be, that tackling yep. guard are double teaming.
Yep.
So that tight end is going to be one-on-one with a defensive end.
So you think that's going to limit less? It's going to be, you know, who would they throw out there, Jason? Who's the other guy? Not Montgomery.
John Fitzpatrick.
Is he a good – how is he at that? It's going to limit what you can do. We don't have – Tucker's good. That would be a place where maybe you'd go pick up Mercedes Lewis like Denver just did. Bring him back to let you run duos.
Yeah, well, to me, it would be this may force your hand a little bit to start just going, hey, we got to go more inside true, inside zone.
I like that. Under center, let's go.
Yes, and let the tackles true double team with that tight end. So the tackles can help double team with the tight end to secure blocks to climb to the second level, which then forces the hand a little bit, which then you maybe could see more true play action from it. Because the last thing you want, right, is to put Musgraves on islands against these defensive ends. Like, you just don't want to do that. Like, that's not the way to start this, you know, Musgrave only tight end era out, is just leave him out there against defensive ends one-on-one and run blocking. Like, that to me is just not the way to start building his confidence. Like, that to me is not the way to do it, right? Like, Tucker Kraft was totally fine with it. Let him go do that. He was good at it, very good at it. He could block any defensive end. He felt good with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you allow Musgrave to double team with tackles, I feel just fine with that.
Sure.
Let him combo block with the tackles and climb outside zone, inside zone. Maybe that is a way to get this run game going a little bit more with a tight end that isn't as good run blocking. That's a way to shore things up a little bit.
All right, Blue, I want to start talking about the offensive line coming up next because there's a lot of ground to cover there, including how a guy that we all think extremely highly of in Elgton Jenkins, say what you want about Josh Myers, and Lord knows you have.
That Blue ran Myers right out of town.
No. Then he went and talked to the team,
He
gave a big boost of confidence. He said everything.
I'm joking.
I know.
I thought that was like 2 years ago, and I thought
Two years ago, you crushed him.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I may.
I didn't think you played great.
Hey, you brought it up, Jason. We didn't.
I know. Then I got interrupted.
What, but you brought it up.
Right, and my point was going to be, for whatever criticisms he may have received from Brian Bulaga and others, and whatever praise he might have received from Brian Bulaga and others, you didn't see a lot of free runners when he was making the declarations. And there does appear to be some challenges there so far this season. We'll talk about that when we get to tackle talk with Brian Bulaga. But first, Tausch needs to tell us not about how America needs farmers, about how you need American Family Insurance.
And hey, Badger fans, it is back. We're the holiday season, and my wife Sarah and I, we have teamed up with American Family Insurance to raise funds towards American Family Children's Hospital through a virtual toy drive. All donations will go towards therapeutic supplies and toys that will help thousands of children and families across the country. Plus, this is the beautiful part, American Family Insurance, everything they do out in the community, they will match every dollar donated all the way up to $50,000. We've done this now. This is our third or fourth year. We've always hit our $50,000 goal. We need to do it again this year. Get you $100,000 to the Children's Hospital. We need your help. Visit amfamkids.org to donate today.
More with Brian Bulaga next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in.
Continuing with Brian Bulaga. I am being told that one of my favorite famous friends, Dan Orlovsky, said something interesting to another of my favorite famous friends, Pat McAfee.
Oh.
And that we have the audio of that.
Is this the guy that sings this song? Is he the one coming to Lambeau this spring?
No. You know, we cover this ground fairly frequently.
Not everybody listens every day.
AC/DC?
Right, and apparently neither
AC/DC.
Do you. This is Chris Young and Kane
tune.
Brown.
Yeah, it's a great song. I like it.
Okay.
I was hoping it was up at Lambeau. It's decision-making if I'm going to go get tickets or not.
We'll see what Chris Young, not Chris Brown, very different artist. We'll see what Chris Young's touring schedule is. AC/DC at Camp Randall and Luke Combs.
Blue, is Iowa
at
doing
Lambeau
a bunch
Field.
Of concerts at their field?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, no, aren't you the farmer of the year there?
No, they're still selling out.
They still... Yeah. That's a low blow, Jesse. That is a low blow.
No, it's very well played. Yeah.
It is very fair, by the way, but it's a low blow.
Yeah. I am not aware of any concerts at Kinnick at this current stage. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Okay. If I may, here is what
Blue. How many hundred grand bars did you get over trick or treat? I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Jesse.
Tausch would like those if you could ship them to him.
Those are the kids. We got to keep them away because, like, if not, the kids will wake up early in the morning, like, come downstairs, grab them, go back up to their rooms early in the morning and, like, hide them and then eat them at night. Like, it's very...
Oh. That's a situation.
Plan. That's a cunning plan, yeah.
Yes, they're very sneaky. Very sneaky.
Are you the walk-around-the-neighborhood guy or are you handing out the candy in your neighborhood?
Oh no, we go around.
He's a walk guy. Yeah, look at him. Great athlete.
We go.
So who mans your front door?
Leave a bowl.
No.
Yes.
Never.
But that's what you do.
Yeah. We leave the candy out. Yeah.
It's terrible.
You trust. You got to trust.
Then the fugitive from the law comes and eats all your candy while the ATF is chasing him.
That's true.
So here, as much as I would love to talk about anything other than Dan Orlovsky's thoughts, we're going to play them anyway. Here is Dan Orlovsky on the Pat McAfee Show talking about the Packers' offensive line.
This team cannot go to the Super Bowl with this offensive line play right now. They can't. They are getting physically beat one-on-one far too often. And I don't know if the quarterback play and decision-making is a little bit attached to that, because that usually is the case. But this offensive line has been suspect all year, and they've skated by with it. Unless it gets better, they're not going to go be who they should be from a team goal perspective.
Now, I would like to get Brian Balagas, who I go to for my insights about the offensive line. Another one of Tausch's former teammates, Mike Wall, does a great job as well. Dan Orlovsky is not my go-to. I do think it's worth pointing out he has been an apostle, a disciple, an evangelist for Jordan Love. So you notice in there, you notice he pinned a little bit of whatever Jordan, who's had a great season, by
and
the way.
And he loves Matt LaFleur, too, and almost took a coaching job with him, just for reference.
Yes. Has the offensive line, in your expert opinion, been as bad as was just described by a former quarterback, Dan Orlovsky?
To hear him say all year is a little much. It's a little exaggerated in my opinion. Like to hear when you say physically like beaten in one-on-one matchups all year, that's a little exaggerated. Now, I do think we saw a little bit of a stretch. Obviously Cleveland with Myles Garrett, we saw some issues, right? Like there's no doubt about that. I think we saw against Carolina, who's the name of that big D tackle?
Brown.
I mean, we struggled against him. I mean, I'm just gonna be brutally honest. Like we struggled against him. I don't think we struggled that much, like protecting the passer. I didn't. When you watch it, like you didn't see like guys constantly getting beat one-on-one in pass protection like over and over and over and over again, where you're like, we can't even block these guys. Like this, we're getting physically outmanned every snap. Like that's not something I saw.
Oh, like, or out-schemed, right? Didn't it feel like you got out-schemed a little bit, or didn't communicate some of the inside twisting and stuff like that?
Yes. Yeah, like you saw guys like not passing off stunts and getting beat by simple TEs, right? Like that's what I saw. Like I saw a bunch of guys being on different levels and passing off games. Like that's not getting beat physically one-on-one, right? That's a different type of getting beat. So maybe to quarterbacks, that's getting physically beat, like, you know, to the, you know, physically, you know, by, you know, out I don't even know what Dan said there, but like it's different for offensive linemen. But I will say this. There has been, as of late, a little bit too much, in my opinion.
Leakage.
Leakage in the run and pass. There has been a little bit too much of that. And if you want, like, I'm not going to sit here and say it's been all year because that is a over exaggeration. Like that to me.
Yeah, nobody was saying that second half of the Pittsburgh game, FYI, either.
No.
So.
And no one said that against Detroit week one. No one said that week two. Like, so like we really have to like that's just inaccurate. But recently that has kind of been the case. So like if we're going to look back in the last few weeks, that's been the case. And for me, it's not as much the pass game. It's the run game. And you know, Homer got on me last week, Jason. And if you remember when Homer said, I don't care about the run game. I'm like, well, what do you mean you don't care about the run game? Like, we don't need to run the ball. He's like, I don't care if we did what we did against Pittsburgh. I go, what do you mean? Because there's going to be times where we can't do what we did against Pittsburgh. Like, just throw the ball for 350 yards for four touchdowns every game. We can't do that every time. And here we go. And it just happened.
Right.
So, like, that's what I'm kind of saying is that we've seen that trend with the run game in the last few weeks where – we're not moving guys off the ball. We're getting too much penetration at the line of scrimmage. We're not able to climb to the second level. And I think maybe that's what Dan needs to be a little bit more specific on if he's talking about the run game. Do I think that the pass blocking is affecting Jordan's decision-making? I don't think so. Jordan threw that ball downfield with no pressure.
No, in his predetermined face. And just made the throw, yep.
Yeah, so like I don't know why Dan would say that. Like that's kind of like that's throwing a shot at the
I think Jason is saying he's a shill for Jordan. That's what you're saying, Jason, without saying it, right?
Yeah.
Well, I just referenced it for a reason. You augmented the context as well. Was told that we wanted to play this audio, and I wanted to make sure everyone got a full picture.
Sure.
And that we trust Brian's assessment of offensive line play.
Brian watches and breaks down this line a lot more, and Dan does the work. That's why I respect what he does. He does the work.
And he's got 32 teams to think about.
Yes. Blue, we've been talking, and there's a lot of fans that are asking, and there was talk of Elgton Jenkins maybe even getting traded, which I thought was absurd, but there were rumors that Tampa called and asked. I think Elgton Jenkins' last year is going to be in Green Bay this year. I think this is it. I don't know if you agree with that or not. How have you assessed his play? Because some of that leakage, in fairness, and he is the captain of that group, he's making the calls. He's saying, we got to pass this off, you know, declaring stuff. Give us your assessment of his play, especially after last week's game.
Yeah, so this is kind of the whole – like, I don't want to say the issue with moving guys from one position to – like, you move a guy from one guard to the other guard position, especially a guy like him, and he's able to adjust, and he can do that. But when you move guys from one position to the other that have done it in the past, but it hasn't been a full-time job, and now you make it permanent, there is going to be – an adjustment period, and I said it from the jump, and I said it because like I know the position, you know the position, and you know the guys that have played the position. We've played with guys that were really good at it. It's going to take them more than like 5 or 6 games to get a hold of it. Like it's going to. And his season so far at the position has been up and down. It just has been. It's been up and down. And it is a position that it's a very unique skill set. There's a lot of small details that you have to be really good at from a technique standpoint to be good at it, right? Just to block as a center. And there's a lot of little ins and outs and tricks of the trade that you learn as just taking reps, right? There's just little things that you learn. But then from being able to process all the information as it's happening on the fly and making IDs and adjusting on the fly as the defense is moving and tracking things and you're seeing free runners come through potentially. Maybe that's on, like, again, we're talking about free runners coming through We don't exactly know the play. We don't exactly know the ID. So I hate to sit here and say that's on Elton or that's on whoever. Like, I'm not going to say that because I don't know exactly. Maybe we could all look at a mic point, or we can look at whoever, whatever it may be. I don't know. Because we don't really, I don't know the exact player. I don't know the call. It could be it could be someone else. It could be someone else's assignment. I have no idea. But with that, when you're trying to process all this information at once, right, as the center, and you're trying to think of the snap count, and then you're trying to make, and then the guy next to you is asking you, hey, Elton, what was the call again? What was the call again? And then you're repeating it to him. And then Jordan starts asking you a question. Then you're answering him. Then the snap count's coming. And then that linebacker's moving. And then you're snapping the ball. And then he's hitting it downhill. And you're like, oh, my gosh. And then also that three tech is slanting to you. And then there's a lot happening at once. And that takes time as a new center to figure that out and adjust your thinking and everything to that. And that happens, as you know, Tausch, in like half a second. Like that, all those things happen and you have to be ready to adjust. And like, again, we look back at how this all kind of started. This all started in OTAs, right? Like, he wasn't there, right? He didn't take, any of these.
Wanted some new guarantees.
He didn't take any of these reps. And then he was at training camp, but he was hurt, right? And then he missed all that. I don't know how many, what was it, Jason? Like a week and some change or whatever it was. I don't even know. Missed that time. And so all these reps are missed where he could be getting these reps under his belt.
Hey,
and
Brian,
then just
quick
go
question.
Season.
Quick question for you. Was it a mistake to move him? He was an all-pro type left guard. You knew what you had. He wanted, in fairness, we all knew he wanted to move to center. We had pretty good sourcing on that 2 years ago.
Yes.
But he was so good there. He played center, but always kind of as a fill-in. And with all of the things you said, do you think Goody miscalculated? Because the Aaron Banks signing so far, it has not been what they had hoped. Doesn't mean it can't be the back end of this season, but he's been injured. Mm-hmm. It just hasn't been able to be consistent. Did Goody and the staff make a mistake by moving Elton Jenkins to center and not addressing that position with someone else?
Well, I'll put it this way. I can't say that it's been a, like, just like the Aaron Banks signing, I can't say it's been like a mistake yet, right? Like you can't say that yet because there's still time for this thing to come good, right? Like that's what I'm trying to say. Like there is time for it to come good, right? There's still a lot of ball left to be played, but you do look at it hindsight, right, and say what would it have costed to retain, say, Myers, seeing what he
less
did
than
get,
$2 million bucks,
yeah. To retain him.
Should have got him back from the Jets. They were trading everybody yesterday.
That wasn't the craziest thought we had yesterday,
no.
I'll tell you that.
Yeah, so like you, and then just keep everything kind of the same, right? And leave guys in their
Blue, which O-line was better? If you look at last year compared to now, and you're halfway through the season, which O-line was better?
Last year's line.
Yeah,
I
agree.
Played better.
I agree.
Last year's line played better.
Yeah. How much of this? So you've got the other part of this, and then I have a note from my guy Seth Walder, who handles Rob Domofsky's bold predictions. Now he's the analytics guy.
What a thing
ESPN.
To have on your card! You're Rob's assistant bold director.
I want to share what he sent me because I had asked him. So I want to get to that quickly, though. First, Brian. You know, you've been on offensive lines where you guys had to do a bunch of juggling, right? Where you played next to different guards almost each week, etc. Elton, in addition to playing a new position, sometimes Banks is there, sometimes he's not. Sometimes he's got Sean Ryan on one side and he's got J-Mo on the other. Other times, Aaron Banks is in there and they're rotating the other guys. Like, That feels like that has exacerbated an already existing challenge for him. And I know it's his job, and I know he's got to come through because those are the expectations. You're out there, do your job. But it does feel like that specifically has been even more problematic because of the guard uncertainty from week to week, and now there's uncertainty again.
Well, I mean, and that's kind of what I got at is, you know, as he's going through his process at the line of scrimmage and he's making IDs and you know, because it's like a process when you get up to the line of scrimmage, right? He gets over the ball, his hand goes on the ball, he makes an ID. Normally what happens is Jordan will come up, whether he's in gun, whether he's under, Jordan will say, where are we going? Elton will then re-identify it so Jordan will hear. And then if Jordan wants to make another check, Jordan will make another check, Elton will repoint it, and then they're off. Most of the time, though, because we're offensive linemen and we're neurotic, we will all then, because that's how we are, we will then double confirm that all down the line. And then it gets repassed down the line.
Triple stamp, yep.
Yes. So that's what Elton most likely with these guys next to him that are, you know, guys are getting rotated in. Then it's getting reconfirmed again. And with a new center that is also then trying to make sure he's on point with everything, is now triple confirming it again, and Jordan's wanting the football. And now the defense is starting to move after a point has been made, and the defense is now adjusting to a point, right? And they're gonna move. They're going to play. They're not going to stand still like statues. And we're seeing guys run through and be, you know, clean runners coming through. It's a point where it could be different guys next to him. It could be that there's a bunch of communication going on and a lot of talk and maybe not a lot of, like, understanding. Right? You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of talking going on and no one really knows what's being said. And like, that could be an issue as well.
All right. I want to blow your mind before we ship you out of here. Okay. So do we all agree, the three of us on the current panel, agree that the Packers should have kicked the field goal on 4th and 8 from the 13-yard line, having already lost Tucker Kraft? They are down
with 11 minutes left.
13-7 with 11 minutes left. We all agree the Packers should have kicked the field goal there, yes?
I'm guessing Seth Walder doesn't, but I 100% do.
Okay.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Again, I am not an analytics aficionado, but according to the analytics for that, the Packers' likelihood of winning percentage with a field goal is 28.7%. Going for it is 30.2%. So by 1.5%, the right call, according to the analytics, is to go for it. And that's what Matt LaFleur did. What does that say?
Analytics doesn't have to convert a 3rd or 4th and 8. Analytics just crunches a bunch of numbers. So there is a place. I don't want to act
like... I was shocked by that.
I don't want to... You shouldn't be. They're always going to push going to get 7 points instead of 3. Like, that's what this is.
Yeah.
If it's 4th and 2, I agree. But what's the... First off, who are you playing against? Like, do they take that into account? Do they take into account that Bryce Young threw for 100 blanking yards? And we are going to get the ball back twice and have opportunities to go score different opportunities. It's different if you're playing the 2000 Rams. You're playing the blanking Carolina Panthers that scored 16 points. So, no, that analytics, stuff it in a blanking locker and shut it because it's dumb.
So, does that analytics tell you, like, if you don't make it, you still have a 30-something percent chance of winning the game?
That is not a piece of information that is included, and thanks again to Seth for passing it along. But this is how they decided.
I'm just wondering.
It's a great question.
It's like, if you don't get it, what is the chance? Yeah, like, what does the analytics say about winning the game? Like, what does that go to? Because it went to zero at that point.
They tied the game shortly thereafter.
They would have been ahead by 3 if they had kicked the field goal.
Or if McManus had made the one field goal he missed. All right, Brian, we've kept you a very long time once again, but we're always smarter because of it. good luck trying to get good luck getting that candy back out of the kids' bedrooms, please.
Oh, gosh. All right. All right, guys. Take care.
That is the great Brian Bulaga. He makes us smarter every Wednesday. We always appreciate the time we get from him, and we always appreciate the support of Grubel Offices. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. We talked last Friday for our Feel Good Friday about what they did with the Special Olympics and the Bucks and Bobby Portis. Always involved in our communities and always there, one call away if you have been injured in an accident. So hopefully you never make the call, but if you have to, make it. 414-276-6666. Grubel Offices, one call. That's all. The 10 o'clock hour of Will Detausch starts right on time in 2 minutes. So stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.